collect call from...
How does access to education change your identity or influence identity within your sphere of experience?
I would like to say that instead of being frontal with my circumstances, give it up and take the easy way out, I'm in the hard situation of I'm choosing to make the most of my opportunity. The more difficult my circumstances, the more I mean, because it's an opportunity. It gives me the chance to deal with the issues that brought me to prison and improve my self-worth mentally, physically, and spiritually. I have never given up on my motivation for hope or transformation and continue to strive for a better future. I've learned that higher education in prison is as essential to my life as air and water. It does so much more than teach me facts and figures. It builds self-esteem when there was none. It creates hope when I thought there was not a hint of hope, and opens doors of life that were once closed. I look at it this way. I'm just like, when I think about, every time I think about education, I just feel so grateful, because I'm afforded the opportunity for a chance of success. Not returning to prison, having others to avoid trudging the same road that I have, is a pivotal part of my life.
Well, thanks, Pyeongchae, for sharing. I think I've told you, you know, during our visits, I was the first in my family to get a college degree. And my my degree was in education and language arts. So I was a teacher. The first career I had was as a teacher. And now in later life, you know, I belong to an organization that raises money for women's education. So the fact that you've been able to get an education and continue to be curious and wanting to learn, you know, in your situation, you know, being incarcerated, and you know, I love that, and I love our conversations and the fact that you continue to want to learn and do and be involved and make changes and make political waves and just everything you do, I think is remarkable. And, you know, I am so happy that I get to be a part of your journey.
I am so grateful, Aunt Bonnie, that you're a part of my life. You and Liz, like, every single time that I bow my head and I pray and I thank God for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon my life. And I think about all the wonderful people, wonderful things that you've done, such as, you know, bringing Liz, and just giving me that unification with my family, friends, and loved ones. It's such a blessing, and I'll never forget it. It's, I was being incarcerated in here, it's hard itself, right? Because we're away from our family, friends, and our loved ones, and stuff, but at the same time, also, like, you meet so many wonderful people in here. This is where I met Liz, and I'm just like, to God, by the angels in my life. And I think about it, and I'm like, she's family. I just feel so indebted in such a way. She feels supported, and I support her. And to think, as you know, I'm not just a prisoner. I don't know what life has in store for me outside of these confined walls. But I just know that, like, in the process of being incarcerated, I just there's so much for just to educate myself. It has broadened my horizon. It opened my mind up in such a way. I just, it's so hard to even explain it, because I don't have to sit in a small little room. I don't even know how big this wall is in myself. But not just be locked up, locked out, and locked in, but my mind doesn't have to be closed off. I don't have to be one of those small-minded person. I'm open to so many different things in here. And educated, to me, equals that whole being less judgmental towards others and towards my surroundings. is turning a negative into a positive. As an incarcerated, sticking out education, like, I feel like I'm an example to others in similar circumstances, proving that there's still hope on the horizon. Education gives me hope for the future, for being able to better myself. Sharing this is pertinent in showing society the benefits of a liberatory education is possibilities it creates for a better tomorrow. Wouldn't you agree, Aunt Bernie?
I do. And, you know, I think the most valuable tool you have at your disposal, probably even before you started getting more of a formal education, is your curiosity and your willingness to engage with people and with ideas. Because no matter, you know, how book smart people get, there's, you know, you find yourself in different situations. You've got to learn to navigate regardless, you know, and obviously you find yourself in a very different situation from me. My day-to-day life is certainly different from yours. And, I would certainly look forward to helping you navigate from one world to the next, because there are things you can't learn, you know, from a book when it comes to changing your environment, changing your culture, you know, moving from one situation to another. So, yeah, being curious, being open, you know, trying not to let fear get in the way when you're faced with change, you know, all of that is part of the bigger picture of what it means to be educated.
Yes, I'm in total agreement. Yes, the book teaches me so many wonderful things and some of that, but at the same time, it's like you need to have that hands-on as for learning, right? That's why I look at, you know, I look towards Elizabeth and I look towards you for guidance as well. Like, there's so many things I'm just like so clueless about after being incarcerated for 17 years. I'm like, wow, you would think that, you know, people think, you know, certain people, I should say, think that, oh, when they hear, oh, this person's been incarcerated for, like myself, over 17 years, she must be institutionalized. But I feel like there's certain things I feel like I am, but really, I'm just like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not gonna let this place, like, close my mind off. Even like when it comes to cooking, Bonnie, like I want to make manicotti, I'm going to make manicotti. I'm going to just reach for the stars and go above and beyond, right? Lots of time at night, I'll lay in bed and think about how can I make truffles? How can I make this? How can I make that? I was like, I want my mind to be limited. One of the things that I can't stand.
You have blown my mind, girl, with both you and Liz have blown my mind with what you can do with the microwave. I mean, I am not a cook from any stretch of the imagination, and I use a microwave all the time. But I have yet to make a chicken pot pie in a plastic bag in a microwave, you know, or pies or cakes or anything wonderful. So, I mean, you have had to be creative and imaginative and collaborative, you know, everybody pulling together with whatever ingredients you can find to create, you know, your own version of the world, you know, in especially in terms of food. So I admire that so much, because that is so outside of my scope of thinking and being. So, you know, it's just a different world. So we're learning to navigate one another's worlds.
So I know that you and me, Pyeongchae, we met while we were incarcerated, and we were in classes together. And because I can't come see you because of policy and procedure, Bonnie, who used to come visit me, now visits you, and you guys have your own relationship that's outside of our relationship. How do you think that those experiences that we had in the classroom contributed to our relationship, but also like this second generation relationship that you have with Bonnie?
Well, we met in here. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing on itself, and some of that, how, you know, God worked it all out. And prior to us meeting, all that was the education. For a while ago, like, there was only TCC. The TCC thing was TCC is Tacoma Community College. Their thing was, you have to have 7 years or less to take classes, and I tried to apply to take drafting. They were like, oh, no, you can't, because your sentence is life without the possibility of parole. So you, there's nothing like that for you. And I used to cry my eyes out, and I used to pray about it, and I was like, why? I want to educate myself so I can have a better tomorrow. But why is there, you know, like, stumps on the road? And I was just like, fine, it's okay, because today's no is a greater yes. That's something that God has in store, you know, for me. That's what my mentality was at that time. And it still is. And so I was thinking, like, for me, the idea of community, my idea of community is having a network of individuals, right, with varying strengths and talents working together to make life a better experience for everyone. Specifically, Freedom Education Project in Shittown, FEP. It's my home away from home. At some point, Washington Correctional Center for Women, WCCW, went from a prison to a university. The classroom, we all rally against stereotypes who we are and who others perceive us to be. Stereotypes are always incomplete because we are so much more than a single story, more than incarcerated individuals. We are not defined by or limited to being those people. The PEPS program has challenged and empowered college women to flip the script of their personal narrative, stepping out and away from native labeling toward a sense of freedom through higher education. We become scholars, begin to use critical thinking skills with a more well-informed sense to engage with our community here in WCCW and our communities that reach outside these gates. That's what's going on within these confined walls in the classroom and stuff.
How do you feel personally about now having access?
I feel amazing. Like, from someone who felt like, I felt in a sense when I was told no, I felt like a loser, someone who was just pushed away because I was looked at as the worst thing ever that I could have done. And I couldn't even have access in a classroom where I can educate myself. But now, like, I've gotten the opportunity. Like, I feel like I stand before, like, let's just say my parents, you know, like a new woman, mature, considerate. I'm involved in my society in positive ways and devoted to working towards enriching the lives of those around me. You know, like, my eyes spark. I can, it's just like, it's given me so much hope.
Bonnie, you said earlier that you were first generation in our family to, mm-hmm. to get a degree. Do you think that that changed your relationship with the family or with people around you?
Well, it did because, well, I know from my parents, it gave them a sense of pride. And yet, interestingly enough, my younger brother, who's 12 years younger than I am, did not go to college. And it's only been in recent years I found out from him that he always felt that I was the favored one. I was the one that got all the opportunities, that I was somehow the princess in the group, you know. And I hadn't really appreciated, you know, how he felt about that, or even knew how he felt about that, even though he had his own successes in life, regardless of having a college degree. And, you know, it certainly gave me opportunities I would not have had otherwise. And I eventually ended up getting a master's degree that gave me better job opportunities that I would not have had. So, yeah, I'm a great appreciator of education and the doors that it can open. They, you know, I think it's just more, it was easier for me. Now, in this day and age, today, you know, I think a lot of folks are getting technical degrees or two-year degrees or apprenticeships or trades, you know, which are so valuable. And, you know, people are questioning, really, I think today, the value of education given what it costs. So, you know, for Pyeongchae and others, you know, in prison, and I understand there's controversy about that too. When you're unable to get a degree, and not have to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for it. You know, is that unfair? As important as it is to self-esteem and what your life holds in the future and how that might help you, I understand, you know, that there's been pushback against that too, because it, you know, all of a sudden you're getting something for free that other people have had to pay for. Mm-hmm. But I certainly support that. I support that, because my understanding too is that, you know, it helps you see the world in a different light. In other words, not getting bogged down with just the minutia of what's going on day to day, the gossip or the anger or the, you know, the infighting that might be going on. It gives you something else to talk about, to think about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you find that true?
Yes, absolutely. You know, like, what I want to add on to earlier was that aside from giving me hope and seeing the world in a different viewpoint, right, especially, you know, my scenario, instead of just being down and being disgruntled, giving up, and all because I felt like I was standing in a mountain. You heard of that thing called vantage points, right? But I felt like I was standing in a vantage point. Like I was vanished. No one could see me. No one was offering me a space where I can educate my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, where I can learn to better myself and given that opportunity to fill my mind.
So if somebody came to you and said, there's no point in giving someone access to education who has a life sentence, what would be your argument about why it should still be allowed, regardless of the length of your sentence?
Well, and I'm not an incarcerated individual, so I'm not going to have the passion around the answer probably that Pyong Shai would have. But as far as I'm concerned, anyone and everyone should have access to education and, you know, and learning. Because I think, as Pyong Shai pointed out, you don't live within four concrete walls. We all live within and perform according to how we think, believe, and then that's what leads to behavior. So if you can influence your thinking in a positive way, or if you can broaden your horizons, you know, it does free you. It does free you from any kind of perceived or real prison. So, yeah, I'm the eternal optimist. I would wish the best for anyone and everyone. But again, you know, I've never been incarcerated, so I don't have, you know, that same perspective of how important it is, whereas Pyong Shai's been there, done that.
No, Aunt Bonnie, I was going to say, if somebody came and approached me and was like, I think prison sucks, like, I don't want to, like, do anything with myself, I just want to get up, if anything, I'll go to work, because that's my livelihood, and that's that, and I'm just going to ride out this 20, 30 years and by doing nothing, going to work, coming back, and just watching TV, who cares? Who gives a crap, right? I would say, you know, Understood. I know that prison crushes you. It is dark, claustrophobic, and suffocating. I can tell you from my experience that when I first arrived, I felt like I was being entombed. It was hard for me to put the words positive and prison in the same sentence. Yet, when I reflect upon my time working towards my degrees here at WCCW, I have found that confinement and optimism can be intertwined and coexist as a perspective. Being a student has helped me pierce cracks in the wall. It has shown me a light amid bleakness and provided air to feed my spiritual breath. I believe education is through an electrical outlet. That is the cord that I use to access knowledge. The outlet equals emission, and we exhibit our knowledge through our power that we have gathered by taking charge of of our own story. And I say our because I'm speaking for the everyone, for the people in these confined closed walls who have reached out and just inspired, continue to aspire to climb as high as they can dream. And so, you know, to carry on, the first program at WCCW has given the countless women and non-binary individuals the opportunity to rewrite their stories. It has given us the ability to step out from behind the myths and stereotypes and find a sense of freedom and knowledge, even if some never successfully leave the prison. It allows, like myself, to be scholars, critical thinkers, and inform and engage community members. As Booker T. Washington stated, this is one of my favorite quotes, he says success should be measured not so much by the position reached in life as by the obstacles overcome while trying to succeed.
Mm. Is there anything in your education pathway that has impacted how you can fight for greater access to your family visitation?
Yes, it has educated me to learn how to write an essay.
Okay.
Has taught me through that process, and I am, you know, like, I didn't know how to write essays before, and now I just can't stop writing, like, I can't stop talking kind of thing. So, it's a great encouragement.
Okay.
On top of that, it has encouraged me to just, you know, the possibility. Education has given me the possibility to, the possibility to create potential to transform lives for others, for the greater good, right? By encouraging others to embrace positivity, compassion, strength, faith, confidence, and working towards building healthy lives and healthy communities, mm-hmm. while breaking the cycle of mass incarceration, helping others avoid, for me, like helping others avoid going down the path, mm-hmm. is a crucial part of my life and towards momentum in pushing for restorative justice, mm-hmm. one sentence at a time. That's what education has done for me.
I know you've brought a group of women together, all of whom have life without parole, and you're doing some pretty valuable work. What tools are you using that you actually learned, you know, through your education process, you know, in terms of bringing this group together and managing it and setting strategies? I mean, where did you learn how to do all that?
It opened my eyes up. It's not about just, like, you know, my sexuality or what I identify as or what I was born as a female. Nothing like that. But it was the whole thing of the comparison to my identity and my role as an incarcerated individual. You know, I can be stuck in that little funk, or I can actually, you know, like, climb up that box of stereotypes of that one-sided story and be more than that.
Well, it sounds like, you know, that's kind of a driving force then, you know, and motivation in terms of the work that you're doing with your group. Isn't it called the Grace Coalition?
Well, I learned it from being a student. I learned it from higher education, from all the professors who taught me and all the classes they taught me, all the... I've taken so many classes from math to science to humanities and stuff. In every single class, I pulled little bits and things out.
What is your major and what is the highest degree that you've received while you've been incarcerated?
Let me see. I have been... I've obtained my Associate of Arts and Science degrees with honors on June 27, 2000, partnering with the University of Puget Sound On June 1st of last year, I have obtained my Bachelor of Liberal Arts degree with cum laude, which is honors, as the first life without the possibility of release or parole incarcerate to accomplish this monument undertaken. Mm-hmm. I have to say this is a pivotal point of my life trajectory.
Do you have any vocational degrees?
I have I'm a transcriber for the Austin Resource Center, accommodated by Correctional Industries in the Braille Department for the past 5 years now. So I have my vocational is State Literary Associate of Music. Mm-hmm. I have obtained my format. I've obtained my Nemesis / Science.
So, would you say that your vocational certificates and use of your vocational skills, because correct me if I'm wrong, do you still work in the Braille department?
Yes, I do. I'm still working in the Braille department, and I'm actively working on my part 2 of the music full, because music is so big. It's 38 lessons and a test. I've obtained my part 1 is the associate in music, mm-hmm. but part 2 is the music full, and I'm going for my unified English Braille and NEMMIS, which is throughout the whole entire country. Right now, mm-hmm. I only have my state NEMMIS mm-hmm. certified in that, and then I have to do literary proofreading, and I have nothing else to do. Kind of.
You obtained them all. You're a master. There's a lot of discussion in the greater world that vocational courses, and Bonnie, you earlier alluded to people taking more trades courses versus higher academic. So returning to that comment and your experience, Pyeongchae, with both having vocational and academic skills and certificates and degrees under your belt, how do you feel having access to higher education has influenced your work in your vocational courses?
Oh my gosh, it has just absolutely just empowered me to once again aspire to climb as high as I can dream, right? With that empowerment, it was an encouragement for me building up my self-esteem to believe in myself that I can actually ask for my application and through the application process, just, you know, like apply for Braille because I felt like I can do this. I can do anything I set my heart and mind to, and because I excelled so much in education, it was like an attempt to be like, I will excel in my vocational skills as well, because I was just like, there's that, I don't know, maybe part of it was like, you know, like, mommy was like that stereotype of what a prisoner is. And I just wanted to rise above those stereotypes. And I was like, no, I'm not the stereotype. No, I'm not what they say I am. Mm-hmm. I'm more than the worst things I've ever done. If I can excel, I can do so good in education, I'm going to do so good in Braille as well. Because it's like the bigger picture is that I'm giving that to my community. Especially the community for kids who are blind. Mm-hmm. There's this sense of fulfillment knowing that I'm freely giving and being a beacon in the dark by men that start the hope in me.
Mm, that makes sense.
Through education has pushed me to believe that, like, possibilities is endless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The future is endless.
Given, yes. Pyeongchae, that you're, you know, getting close to, it sounds like, getting all the certifications you can in Braille, and from my understanding, there's no plan for a master's degree at the prison, so you've already gotten your BA, and you're getting close to finishing up certifications in Braille. How do you feel about that? I mean, what are you going to do to pursue education if, you know, if the if it's not available?
Well, I am currently, I was asked about 2 months ago to be able to be a part of the FAPS alumni leadership, which FAPS alumni leadership is, of course, through the FAPS education, but it's all for the BA graduates who would like to build a program for the next cohort, which is to be expected to start fall of this year by the new BA director, Regina Duesman-Darby. And we were asked to be a part of it, aside from doing the program, but get in the class and either edit the class, PA the class, or since we are UPS graduates, we can take one class, one free class a year. That's super exciting because it's a way of me getting back to the program, to set the program that I love so much, the program that believed in me, the program that made a way, a safe family in the classroom, to get away from all the chaos in the prison, all the drama, the gossip, basically the stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just, like, walking out of my unit, I can shed all that. Walking out of the Brown Department, I can shed all that, shed all the soap off me. If I can get away from all of it, sometimes the politics of it all, Bonnie, like in the unit and in the Brown Department, it's just so much. It's like this heavy weight, burden that you're carrying while you're working there.
Yeah.
It can be from the projects. It can be from the projects, like the deadline. It can be from people's attitude and personality. Everything has to be, some people, everything has to be so negative and stuff. But you know what? Aside from all that that I'm just shedding, it's just like sitting there in the classroom and giving myself to the next cohort. And when somebody, if somebody's ever feeling like they can't do this, be like, you know, sweetie, if I can do it, you can do it. Anybody can do this. It depends. It's not about how smart you are. It's how bad you want it. Walk in there with that attitude of, I'm in it to win it.
So this is the last cohort of the bachelor's program from the FEPS program, giving back to the next cohort. Does the sense of community or the development of these cohorts giving back to the next cohort, does that transcend the classroom or is it just confined to the classroom?
I feel like it transcends the classroom in such a way. It's just like, I was going to say, it's that sense of belonging, right? Building that sense of belonging. Because it leads to what's amongst each other. Because it leads to, because it will lead all the BA graduates from conversations about the safety and comfort to other conversations such as like relatedness and willingness to provide hospitality and generosity, not towards ourselves but towards others as well. Like the process of it has brought us together in a sense of when things happen, we're not afraid to call things out when one of our cohorts at that time has taken that once or twice a laptop out of the classroom.
So, like, yes, you guys hold each other accountable for to protect your education space and resources?
Yes, we sure do that because it's all about integrity. We have to protect the integrity of the program. We have to protect the integrity of each other, the professors. You know, the list goes on. It's bigger than what people see.
Do you feel like education is under attack in some ways and that you guys are stewards of this space?
Yes, that's exactly how I feel like. Yes.
How are you seen by others? Other women in the prison that haven't gone through the BA program and gotten a degree, are they envious? Are they admiring? Are they curious? And, you know, how do you handle that?
As being as someone who basically has talked the talk and walked the walk, and there's a lot of admiration in their eyes, and they have came up and told me, they're like, oh my gosh, I just want you to know, P, that I have watched you. I'm so excited. How can I be a part of what you're doing? So I was like, you can absolutely. Like, that's the, you know, like, the thing. And I would just tell them about the personal statement that I wrote, how I got into you, chosen by you, kids. I wrote about God and a little bit about education, and I just merged it together. So how God, you know, like, created me, he created all this wonderful thing, and loved me so much that he created this education for me, and this is how it looks like, and this is what I envisioned it to be. So I went through all this rapid travel with them. They were like, oh my gosh, and all the people who came up and talked to me, it was like I was promoting the BA program, because they showed up for the orientation, and they're ready to apply for the FAFSA, and they wanted me, and you personally want me to help them, guide them to write their personal statement, and who I think, you know, like, they should reach out to for references. So I'm super excited. I feel like a shepherd guiding my little sheep.
How many people are in the program, in the FAFSA program?
The cohort? Well, we don't know yet, because it doesn't, Regina, the VA director, she's hoping for it to start the fall of this year, but I can tell you this much, that there were about 20 to 25 people who showed up for the orientation, and that all the VA alumni, excluding two people for their personal reasons, Lisa and Samantha, did show up for, you know, to do the Q&A. We have a whole bunch of people in Redwood, and there was more, but they had conflicts and stuff that they couldn't show up.
So you're expecting this next cohort to be larger than your group?
Well, our group, we started with a total of, to be exact, 19 people. And then, you know, like, there was four that dropped out, and there was few that was released under parole,
and let's go by. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it 10, yes. 10 that graduated in your cohort?
Yes, ma'am. There was 10 that graduated. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and there was 5 that was released early. Excuse me. There was, there was 5 that released early, and 4 of them were dropped out.
Okay. Yes. Well, and I may have missed it, but how many did you say are going to be going into the new cohort or be part of it?
Well, Regina's hoping for 20, but I think the space for the room is up to 25. But she wants 20 originally. That's her thought, because she wants to make room for the alumni as well. Whoever wants to add it, who wants a TA, or a space or two for someone who wants to take class, because we're blessed with the opportunity to take one free class a year because we're UPS graduate.
Does, is there a AA program as well, or just a BA program?
That's the one I'm talking about right now, is for the BA program.
Bonnie, do you have any additional thoughts about anything we've talked about today, or about education and identity from your personal experience, or about your relationship with Pyeongchae?
I don't think I have anything more to add about my own personal identity and how it's been impacted by education. It's just, education is a part of who I am. It's always been important, given the opportunities that I had to, you know, to go to school and get an education and get a master's degree, and the doors that that's opened for me. But I think what's more important is the education I've gained, both from you and from Pyeongchae, being able to go into the prison and become acquainted with a lifestyle and, you know, situations that I had no clue about. And that, that's called continuing education. And the fact that, you know, that if I can bring a little bright spot to you once a month, Pyeongchae, that's really important to me. And, you know, we can share and talk about anything and everything, and it's okay. You know, there's nothing, you know, that I wouldn't tell you if I had an answer for. I'm sure you probably have more answers than I do for most things. So, yeah, it's just been a privilege. And as far as I'm concerned, this is part of my continuing education. It shouldn't be something to be afraid of. I think there are people who hesitate the idea of going to a prison to see someone. And in fact, I was in an operations meeting online with folks, and I talked about going to, you know, to visit a woman at WCCW. And I said, you know, jokingly, but it's true. If you can get beyond the barbed wire and the uniforms and being patted down, you know, it's we have a good time. I mean, you know, you and I laugh a lot and we eat a lot and,
yes,
you know, we share life experiences and get our pictures taken, you know, not mugshots, yes, not mugshots, but, you know, I've got this whole stack of pictures from all of our visits, and my hair gets longer and my hair gets shorter, and Pyeongchae just keeps getting cuter. So, yeah, it's being open to new experiences that might seem a bit, you know, non-traditional or out of place, but it's an opportunity to see someone else's world and, you know, and hopefully learn from it.
As for education, I say go for it. The world is your oyster. Don't let anything or anyone stop you. If there's an opportunity to educate yourself anywhere, reach for the stars. Because isn't that right, that saying that every single day we learn something new? So why not? Why not open your mind? Open your heart, open your ears to listen to others, to be there in a classroom and be just non-judgmental and see things for what it is, see people for what it is, just be loving, kind, caring. It opens that up. So, like I said, once again, go for it. As for Avani, I am so blessed to have you in my life. I enjoy every single visit. I really do. It gives me an opportunity to just work on my cat eye, work on my makeup and stuff, because well, we know, of course, you know, like Avani said, we take pictures, not with mugshots or anything, but we just really chose to, you know that thing, chosen to be chosen, that's what we do. And I just love her pictures and stuff. We have so many goofy ones. We have serious ones, funny ones as well. And then we have the right, you know, where people just stand there and smile and all. So I enjoy it. We have good food. We eat a lot.
Don't forget, you finally let me beat you at Scrabble.
She said, okay, I always win, except yesterday she did beat me at Scrabble. It was like, how many points away? Less than 10 points away.
Well, just because you were adding them up.
Yes, I was adding them up, so I let her win. That's what actually happened. Because Aunt Bonnie was whining so much about her losing this and that, and I have this app on my Twitter called Outspell that I've been practicing for the past, like, 3 weeks. Maybe I haven't been practicing, and that's why she wanted to be on it. You wait until next month, lady. I'm going to win again.
Undoubtedly.
I'm claiming that championship back.